former NHL defenseman, analyst now, Sean Bell, joins us. Sean, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, as a defenseman, I'm guessing you're watching that game with maybe like Stretti, a tear in your eye as you see Montreal. Just what they did in the neutral zone, what was it that the Habs are doing so well that Edmonton, specifically their top six lines, were unable to penetrate and get a lot of, you know, sustained momentum or even a lot of rushes through the neutral zone? What was it that Montreal was doing that Edmonton couldn't react to?
Well, first and foremost, I think Montreal's got a lot of team speed, so they're able to kind of counteract, you know, obviously McDavid's speed and Puljujarvi and Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl. So that would be the first thing that I kind of noticed. But the second thing was that they did a really good job of clogging the neutral zone. They always had five guys, you know, above the puck. They're always working to have some back pressure if there is a guy that's chasing. And for a team that, like the Oilers, that's skilled, if they've got to now all of a sudden go through five guys every single time, it just creates a ton of problems.
So other teams find ways to get around it, Sean. So what is it, stubbornness? So what do the Oilers need to do then the next time they face Montreal to at least create some more offense?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that because I was watching the game last night and I was kind of scratching my head wondering the same thing. But then all of a sudden, Jujar's line came up and they chipped the puck in. They went and got it, and they had a really heavy shift where they started crashing and banging. They were just putting pucks in the front of the net, and they ended up scoring, which I think changed the momentum quite a bit in the Oilers' favor. That's the way you got to beat a team like Montreal. They've got big physical defensemen. They want to stay in front of you, and you've just got to raise your battle level to the same as theirs, if not more.
It's interesting you say that, because for me, I found that the Oilers, like the makeup of their team isn't necessarily built on a lot of just kind of grinded out grittiness. And, you know, you mentioned that goal from Kara and Shore, and those are the only two forwards in five games who have scored a goal against the Montreal Canadiens, right?
So it's a testament to kind of like what they've been doing. Like those two guys have been playing really good hockey, but I mean, that line, anytime there's a game where it's a little bit more physical, they're extremely effective. And ever since Jujar's come back from, you know, the taxi squad, his game has been elevated. He's actually becoming a really effective player.
He is. Sean Bell joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Sean, I believe that come playoff time, Dave Tippett, and regular season's totally different. You played. It's amazing how, you know, just how much more physical, you know, and kind of greasy the games get in the postseason. Everybody's finishing their checks. It's you know, everybody does it. But, you know, and there's not as much room. There's lots more of grinding out goals. Do they have to find one winger with size to play with Draisaitl? Like, is it just, you can't really go into a playoff with Cahoon and Yamamoto on the same line, can you?
Like, I agree with you. For sure, but at the same time, like they have the guys that they have, and if you want to win in the playoffs, you just gotta do what you can to grind these games out. I mean, they've done actually a pretty good job of winning games where they're one goal. You know, the Leafs, when they played them, obviously the first three games were difficult. It was posed a pretty significant challenge, but the games after that have been all pretty close games. They've been good games, and they've been grinded out games. So the Oilers have the ability to grind it out. It's just it's a whole new animal all of a sudden when you're playing against that Montreal top four defense, and they're just extremely physical. I think the matchup with the Leafs presents itself a little bit better just because there's more guys that are a little bit more fleet of foot, and they don't necessarily play that game.
Sean Bell joins us, and you know what? And that's the thing, right? Like, so I understand that you have to kind of go with the horses you have, but like a guy like James Neal, if he can get healthy, right, and you know, get his conditioning back to the level it needs to be, like I saw last year in the postseason, him, Kara, and Chiasson were probably their most consistent line 5-on-5 against the Chicago team. And I know people don't like James Neal's contract, but I just look at his size and skill set, and I think he would be a benefit to Edmonton, specifically on that left side, maybe even with Draisaitl if you have to, because I just don't think Cahoon's built to help you in that role in your top six in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. I do think James Neal's got to get his conditioning back, and hopefully he can come back pretty soon. But, you know, it's still, you've got some big physical teams. You know, I think right now if the playoffs were to start today, I think they're lined up with a matchup with Winnipeg, which is an ultra-physical team. Obviously, the results against them have been a lot more favorable than some of the other teams. But, you know, you still have to find a way, whether it's Neal, whether it's Cahoon. Like, you're going to have to find a way for your star players to really make an impact, because that's what it's going to take for the others to advance the playoffs.
So if you look specifically at McDavid and Draisaitl, and who obviously are, you know, two of the most elite players in the league, there's no question about it. And, you know, they find ways, they score. Toronto shut them down for a few games, and then Draisaitl has 3 points the next one. But it's five games now against Montreal, and they have no goals 5-on-5. They have McDavid has, what, he has two assists. I think Draisaitl has two assists, and three of those four assists have come on the power play. The only assist McDavid had 5-on-5 was Cuckoo's goal late in game one. So what do you, and it's hard to say because they're so good offensively, but is there anything they need to change to get going against Montreal specifically?
Well, I just think that they got to play a little bit, you know, more in front of the net. It's, right now, like, I'm not going to take anything away from those two players because they're all world, and really at this point I shouldn't be talking about it, but, you know, they got to get to the net a little bit more. All the goals that happened in the playoffs were scored, you know, right in that house at that home plate, if you want to call it that, and that's where you have to be. I mean, sometimes I kind of watch Draisaitl and I wish that, you know, he would just take a heavy run at a guy because he is that big, and I think it would create a little bit more space for him. It's just stuff like that where you got to get that home plate area, that in the house, and kind of bang away at pucks.
Sean, Baron Jones, Ethan Bear has played a lot better since coming back from his concussion, and Caleb Jones is a guy trying to find confidence. You know, last year, I don't know, maybe he played more relaxed, he put more pressure on himself coming in this season, but he hasn't been the same. On that goal, I don't really, you know, Joe, he made a quick decision. He's behind the net, and then you go in front, and boom, they score. You know, I don't put a lot of focus. Some people were like, oh, terrible play by Jones. You're a defenseman. I didn't think it was that bad of a read by Jones. Like, that's just a quick reaction play, and sometimes, you know, you end up going 6 inches the wrong way. You don't have enough time to recover.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I mean, he's trying to make a split decision, and the puck kind of came from the corner right in front of the net with Anderson basically sitting there, and that's a big man to handle, so you have to be able to get a stick in a hurry. But it was such a bang bang play that, you know, it's hard to fault the guy on that situation.
So moving forward, you mentioned Winnipeg. They are a big physical team, but they don't really clog up the neutral zone as much. Is that why the Oilers have had more success against them than they have Montreal and Toronto?
I think so. Like, you look at Winnipeg and their top six, and they play a style that's a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more, you know, of pace, because they have such a good top six. Obviously, Toronto does too, but I'm not sure if there's a team in the North Division that competes kind of with that top six in Winnipeg. So I think that the way that they lend themselves is that they're able to play more, you know, upbeat, and they don't have to worry so much about that, you know, clogging the neutral zone, because they know they're going to put up goals.
Well, you know, yeah, which is funny because Toronto, I think, knows they can do it too. But Toronto, when they play Edmonton specifically, like, it almost seems like right now opposing teams have found a recipe for success, if they want to do it, if they have the players to do it, to kind of slow down the Oilers through the neutral zone. Because the Oilers, we've seen it, they create more offense off the rush. I think they're second best team in the NHL at creating offense off the rush. And so teams, you kind of eliminate that from them. So if you're a team that's good on the rush, Sean, there has to be a way to keep playing your forte, right? So how does Edmonton enforce the rush more then to be able to use it more? How can they say, because we always hear, well, you know what, we're going to play our game, not react to the other team. So what can you do as an opposing team that's successful off the rush to beat teams that are trying to take away your rush?
Well, what I really noticed, especially when the Oilers were scoring goals off the rush, and I'm just going to use Puljujärvi for an example, what they did a good job of is they always hit the middle, the centerman or the middle player, and then he entered the zone with speed. Okay, and then obviously that brings everybody kind of towards the middle of the ice, and then they started to kick pucks out, and then that middle drive player would just continue on, and then all of a sudden now these players have to make a decision on whether they're going to take a Puljujärvi or a Nugent Hopkins or McDavid that's wide coming with speed, and then all of a sudden they're allowing that kind of middle lane drive player to get to the net. And I know that the Oilers have scored a few goals that way, but it's just kind of spreading out that attack or that neutral zone, that 1-2-2 or the trap or whatever you want to call it, just being able to spread guys out and using, you know, your team's speed more than anything.
Sean, good to catch up with you, man. We really appreciate it. And the Oilers take on Ottawa for two games, and then Calgary. As a former player, do you watch with interest? Do you see any? Are guys, do you think, getting bored of playing the same teams? Like, way back in the day, you used to play eight times against your division rivals, but you would also play 50 games against other teams, right? So this year, it's the same six teams over and over. Is boredom becoming part of it at all, do you think?
It just kind of reminds me of some of the days in the minors. We'd play with, obviously, I was with Hamilton, and we play against the Marlies like 16 times in a year. And, you know, for the first six, seven, let's call it eight games, it's a big-time rivalry, but after that, you're kind of like, okay, these guys again, and you kind of just get sick of the other team. And it's not that the rivalry doesn't exist, because they still think that can be a bit of a powder keg, but, you know, kind of by that 9-10 time, you're kind of like, oh, all right, I'm done with these guys. And I think that's starting to become a factor.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.